It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hi, friends, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about what the Bible has to say to us today. I'm John Bradshaw, and with me is Gary Gibbs. Hi, Gary.
John, good to see you here again today.
And again, another great subject. The last couple of Bible Talks, we've been talking about salvation through Jesus Christ.
We have, and we've learned that Jesus saves us completely and totally. But you've also pointed out something very important for a lot of Christians to understand.
When it comes to salvation, it's true that Jesus pays it all and Jesus does it all. But it's also true that we as Christians have a role in salvation, and that is staying surrendered and being surrendered to Jesus and accepting everything that he's done for us.
And you pointed out, John, that the Bible says it is possible for us, as we're walking with Christ, to actually make a choice to walk away from Christ.
And the Bible is full of examples of people who have done that, and full of verses that say it absolutely is and possible. And the flip side of that is, come to Jesus, make your trip down to the altar, and then live how you please and still expect to be saved. And I don't think that too many reasonable people believe that to be a possibility.
I think you've shown in the previous programs that this concept that's often called once saved, always saved really isn't biblically accurate. It's not what the Bible's talking about.
No, the Bible teaches come to Jesus, get saved, and stay saved. Stay with Jesus said, abide in me, live in me, dwell in me, remain resident in me. Just like a branch is connected to the vine, Jesus says, that's how I want you to be connected to me. And it's a privilege to enter into that relationship.
John, I've been thinking about this conversation that we've been having over the last several programs. And I grew up in a church where I was taught this. And so I understand the reasoning behind this this doctrine of once saved, always saved. And I'll tell you one thing, John, that I don't know that we've adequately addressed. And I want to pose this question to you. Because if you're telling me that at my choice, my point of choice, I can be lost. And I make choices all day long. And with everyone, all our choices aren't righteous choices. They're not always the best choices to glorify God.
That's true.
Well, if I'm bumping in and out of being saved and being saved, being lost, that's going to make me a neurotic Christian.
Now, wait a minute. No one talked to you, no one mentioned here on this program that you're bumping in and out of being saved and lost every couple of moments.
But if I'm choosing sin, am I still saved in my sin? You're saying if I choose sin, the choice of sin is a choice to leave God.
Isaiah said that sin separates us from God. So to choose sin is in fact to break that commandment that says, have no other gods before me. Because at every moment in our lives, we've got a choice to choose Christ or choose against Christ. When you understand that choice and you consciously choose against Christ, then certainly you are erecting a barrier between you and Jesus.
Okay, but I'm having to be reconverted every time. So I choose to entertain a bad thought as I'm walking down the road. And now I repent of it. I come back to God. But here's where I really want to go with my question. We ought to come back to just that topic alone and discuss it if we have time in this program.
Sure.
But here's where I really want to go. It's this whole issue of security. If I'm going through life wondering whether I'm saved or I'm lost, and I might have a prevailing sin, John, in my life. I might have a bad temper or something that keeps coming back on me. And I say, well, you know, I'm making a choice not to follow God and glorify God in these things. Then I'm lost. If you take away the security from a believer, you just rip out their foundation for their ability to even to walk in God and to want to be a Christian.
Now, what though? If that security is lousy security, we now live in an age where security is a big deal. Who wants that sort of false security? Have you ever stayed in a room, maybe in a motel or a hotel, where there are bars on the windows?
Well, I was over in Africa. I spent a month in Africa, and there were bars on the windows. Now, and I was there by choice. That was a hotel room.
Yeah.
It was not a prison. I didn't get in any trouble.
I just realized that what I said, I wasn't trying to allude to any dark chapter in your past here.
Never been in prison.
All right.
Except the prison house of sin.
That's right. And thank God we're out of that. But we've, most of us, I'm sure, stayed somewhere where there's bars on the windows for security purposes. Now, when you were staying in that hotel with the bars on the windows, did that security give you security? Did that measure give you peace of mind?
It did, because I knew that people could not break into my room and steal what I had there or break in during the night and harm me.
Right. Strong iron bars give you security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much security would you have had if those bars were made out of paper or cardboard?
Would have been a show.
No, it would have. That's right. And you could have gone to bed at night pretending that that security was helping you, but it wasn't. And there are those who claim in the name of security, the security of the believer, that it's okay to go on living in sin. And that life, choosing sin before choosing Jesus, offers no one any security at all.
No, it doesn't. But I think, aren't we talking about there are two degrees of sin, for instance? You might have...
Wait. 2 degrees of sin?
Yeah.
Is this creative theology or what?
Let me tell you what I'm talking about.
I can't wait for this.
I was holding a revival seminar, actually a Bible seminar in a town, and I had this man come to my meetings, and he introduced himself as a pastor.
Okay.
All right, so there he is. He's a pastor. The only thing was his breath reeked of alcohol.
All right.
So he tells me he's a pastor, and I think if he was partaking of the communion where they use real alcoholic beverages, he stayed at the communion table much too long.
Way too long.
All right. So then he sits in my meeting, and I'm up front, John. I'm preaching.
Okay.
And as I'm preaching, this guy goes into a drunken stupor. He's kind of half passed out.
And he's a pastor.
And I know he's not speaking in tongues because I can understand what he's saying.
Okay.
And he's saying, and I can't say it here, but it was something like,
and there were
words that should not be used in church.
You had the capacity to understand all that.
Right.
Okay.
And so we had to help him leave church that evening.
Sure.
Well, you know, there's a guy that some people would say he saved. I think most people, though, would say he really never was saved, or he isn't saved now. But that's not the guy I'm talking about. That's one degree of sin.
So you know, you're just saying he's
a flagrant sinner out there, just open sin.
Sure, okay.
I'm talking about the guy who's going along with more acceptable sins, loses his temper every now and then. He kicks the dog, yells at the baby. I'm talking about the guy that might have a little vice here or there, you know, whether that vice is, we could go way off on this one, John.
Sure.
That vice might have to do with surfing the internet in places he shouldn't be surfing. It might be tobacco. It might be alcohol. Who knows?
But I want to stop you right here. You know what you're doing here and what a lot of people are doing? You're trivializing really important things. It's like the drunk, okay, he was a real bad sinner, but the guy who yells at his wife, kicks the dog and screams at his kids, really, that's not so bad. I would contend that if you are connected to Jesus, he is going to work those things out of a person's life, and you're going to grow in grace.
All right, well, I agree with you. But at what point is that person saved? I mean, is the Lord accepting him while he's surfing areas of the internet he shouldn't be, or he's or she is drinking and doing things, relationships maybe, that they shouldn't be? Are they in a safe relationship because they're going to church every week?
Okay, I'm going to give you a great non-answer here, and I don't mean to give you a non-answer, but let's be honest and say that to a certain extent, we cannot know. I can't say this guy's saved or lost, this guy's got a little vice, so I'm disqualifying him from heaven. We look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart, but we know that Jesus came into this earth to save us from our sins. I think, Gary, probably this depends on what is honestly going on in the heart. If someone's having a real honest struggle and they're giving it to God and they're pleading for help, that's one thing. But if another one says, oh, I'm a Christian, so it doesn't matter if I go to these dirty websites, it doesn't matter if I beat my wife, it doesn't matter if I cheat on my taxes, that's presumption, and God won't turn a blind eye to that, and we shouldn't pretend that he will.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that even though I might be, through my growth in Christ, might be struggling with things, I can have security of some sort. But if I'm just out there continuing in the same old sin, flagrantly denying Christ and doing these things you're talking about,
no security,
then it's better for me not to have security.
Absolutely.
Because then I sense my need of Christ, and I need to come back to Him and repent and reform.
Revelation 3, and this is profound. Do you know there's a place in the Bible where God says, I would rather you were lost? He says, I wish you were hot or cold.
Mm-hmm.
But now hot, what's that? That's full on for Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. What's cold? Full off.
It's completely off.
Sure. But he says there's a group of people that are in worse shape than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the lukewarm ones. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know about their need. They don't know how lost they are. And people who deceive themselves by saying, it's okay if I dilly-dally around with sin, are in that category where Jesus said he's going to spew them out of his mouth. And I hate to sound so severe, because Jesus wants that all be saved and none be lost. There's no doubt about that.
So you're saying then, just because we don't believe in once saved, always saved, it doesn't mean that we can't have security.
You can have the utmost security. And every Christian who knows Jesus ought to know that they have full security.
What type of security is that?
The Bible says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Security comes from Jesus being in your heart and working his life out in you.
Now, I like that text because there's a beginning point and a completing point. It says, he who begun. I guess that beginning then would have started when I gave my life to the Lord, or maybe even predated it when he was bringing me to conviction.
Yes, yeah, sure. Either way. Sure.
And then the completion point is when he performs it unto, what did it say?
It says in verse 6, until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is going to keep on working in us all the way till Jesus comes.
And so I'm in this process with him. And as long as I keep connected to the process, I can have confidence.
As long as you like that branch connected to the vine, then the life-giving sap, if you like, of the Spirit of God can flow through your spiritual veins.
You know, I think about my little daughter. She started to walk about 6 months ago, maybe probably more than that. She's 21 months now old, so she started walking 11 months ago. I didn't expect her to start running marathons right away.
That's right.
She was perfect at that stage of growth. I mean, she's right there with the charts that say what a child should be doing at a certain time. And now she's starting to talk, and she says snake. She says nake, nake.
That's right.
There's no S.
That's right.
I'm not chastising her because she doesn't say snake. So what you're saying is we can have the assurance as we're in that process, God accepts us, keeps working with us as we're maturing and growing with him.
Anyone growing a garden accepts his little broccoli plants that are growing, even though they're little, but they're growing, aren't they? They're growing, and that's what God wants from us. Let me read one more verse, Philippians 2, 13. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Friend, keep turning your heart to God. If you fall, get back up, cling to Jesus, and allow him to work out his perfect will in you. And join us again next time for more. I'm John Bradshaw with Gary Gibbs, and thanks for joining us today here on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for BT103. It's still there. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678, or email us at BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.